American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
American woman. Graffiti on the embassy's walls were said to be in protest of the deadly U.S. airstrikes that targeted an Iran-backed militia over the weekend, killing 25 fighters. In turn, those strikes had been in response to a rocket attack on an Iraqi army base that killed a U.S. contractor and injured several American troops. The protest prompted the Pentagon to send hundreds of additional troops to the Middle East. Earlier Wednesday morning, the protesters had set up around 50 tents along with a makeshift clinic. Cooks with aprons on were serving meals out of giant pots. Outside one of the gates, a Shiite cleric recited verses from the Muslim holy book, the Quran, through a loudspeaker. Elsewhere, demonstrators could be seen hurling rocks over the walls of the embassy compound before U.S. troops responded by firing tear gas from roofs on the buildings. The Popular Mobilization Forces, an umbrella group of state allied militias, many backed by Iran, called on its supporters to withdraw in response to an appeal by the Iraqi government saying your message has been received. By late afternoon, the tents had been taken down. The protesters relocated to the opposite side of the Tigris River outside the so-called Green Zone, which houses government offices and foreign embassies. U.S. Apache helicopters circled overhead. Some 100 U.S. Marines arrived at the embassy late Tuesday to bolster security as President Trump had denounced the actions by protesters, vowing the situation in Baghdad will not be a Benghazi. Many of you may remember back on September 11th, 2012, the American diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya, was attacked by members of an Islamic militant group. 4 Americans were killed in the attack, which lasted 2 days. U.S. Ambassador to Libya, Chris Stevens, was among those killed. It has been handled very well, President Trump told reporters as he walked into a New Year's Eve celebration at Mar-a-Lago in Florida on Tuesday night. The Marines came in. We had some great warriors come in. They did a fantastic job. He added, they were there instantaneously as soon as we heard. They came immediately. It's in great shape. This will not be a Benghazi. Benghazi never should have happened. This will never, ever be a Benghazi. As soon as we saw there was a potential for a problem, they got in. Steve, do you remember Benghazi?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, and as soon as I heard there was trouble, whatever day it was that it first popped up, I'm sorry, I've been in vacation mode, but my very first thought went to Benghazi.
So did mine. And, you know, and I just remember seeing those pictures of Ambassador Stevens being dragged through the streets, and it just took my breath away. And then do you remember seeing the pictures of Obama, Hillary Clinton, all in that situation room where they were watching everything come down and they did not send anybody in to help? It was absolutely astonishing. And Steve, do you have that soundbite that we wanted to replay?
What difference at this point does it make?
Could you believe that Hillary Clinton said that after 4 Americans had been killed? It is absolutely astonishing to me. And it is, it was just powerful. I was talking to Patty yesterday, and she said just seeing the Marines coming into the embassy to support them. And I remember, you know, I've interviewed a number of Marines, you know, for my World War II show. And when I had talked to one of them, I said, when you were a young guy, why did you become a Marine? And he said, because our motto is the first to fight. And I was talking to a friend of mine on Tuesday as this whole thing was coming down. And I said, you know, it is while we're here with our families and we're, you know, we're going to have great meals, great time with our families. There are Marines that are going into that embassy to protect that embassy. And there are loved ones of those Marines who they are not together, and they're certainly concerned for their safety. And the American soldier, Steve, we just can't thank them enough, and we take it for granted the fact that we live in freedom and being able to go to the grocery store and get all these, you know, all these different delectables for our get-togethers. I mean, we are lucky people. We need to be grateful for the American soldier that makes this happen, Steve.
I was watching the video of the the Marines getting off the Osprey helicopters in the compound, I guess it was, where the video was being shot. And immediately it's like, what a radical difference in the response.
Yeah. It totally is. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, under the last administration, we tend, you know, even though the motto was hope and change, we were seeing less and less hope when Obama said that from a GDP growth standpoint, that, you know, 1.5%, that this was the new normal. It doesn't have to be that way. And then to let the embassy in Libya be attacked and the ambassador be killed, I mean, that is astonishing to me. And so now I see a new hope in the American idea. And when America does well, you know, the rest of the world does well, as you know, does much better. And we don't see caravans trying to get into Venezuela. We don't see caravans trying to get into Cuba. We don't see caravans trying to get into Iraq or Iran. People want to come to America because that is where the real hope is with the American idea. We're not perfect. We realize that. But freedom. Freedom is the thing that makes the difference. And that is why we are doing our rally of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We have seen it actually on both sides of the aisle, but down at the Colorado State Capitol last year, just this all of these using rules and regulations and taxes and penalties and fines to try to take away people's freedom, make them compliant instead of being free people. And that is why we are doing our Stand for Colorado rally. So be sure and check that out, standforcolorado.com. We're going to go to break here in just a minute, but we're now into the football playoffs. And then the Nuggets are on the road. They've been doing well. They meet the Indiana Pacers tonight, and then they're on to Washington to meet the Wizards on Saturday. And the Avalanche hosts the St. Louis Blues tonight, and then they're traveled to New Jersey to play the Devils on Saturday. And this is wild card weekend in the NFL, so what a great place to go watch the game, and that is at Hooters Restaurants. Or you can always actually drop by, take something home, or you can have it delivered right to your front door. More information, go to my website. There is a landing page for Hooters Restaurants at my website. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue on with some headlines, and we'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Okay, welcome back. We are having just a few little technical difficulties this morning, and so we're going to start over just a little bit. First of all, hope you guys had a great day yesterday. Happy New Year. It's 2020. It's going to be quite a year, and we need to make sure that we are ready. That's why we do this show. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. It's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. If something is a good idea, then you don't need to use force to implement it. And I want to say thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your support and your good work. And thank you to each of you for listening. You each are treasured. You're valued. And strive for excellence today. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled MONSON.com. And Stand for Colorado. Steve, are you ready for our Stand for Colorado rally next to the January 8th on the west steps of the Capitol? 11 o'clock. The weather committee's doing a good job. It's supposed to be 51 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be great.
We are going to hold them to that because that's the only thing I think it could really get in our way.
And we have 16 amazing speakers, women of the West. And go to the website, standforcolorado.com, and you will see all of these speakers. They're each going to take about 3 minutes to talk about issues that are near and dear to their heart. We're going to be talking with three of these amazing women later today after the break here. Steve, I've gotten a little bit of pushback, and that is several men have said, why all women? How do you feel about that? Are you offended?
Not at all. And let's rest assured that when you just use the phrase, they're going to speak on things that are near and dear to their heart. That's not pruning rose bushes. This is stuff that every citizen of the state needs to hear. And, you know, I just, in the package that Patty sent to us this morning, there is some stuff in there that just makes your hair stand on end. And in terms of the way our governor sees this past year and what he's contemplating for the coming year. And, we've had some technical issues here this morning, and people might not have heard your opening in terms of the impact of things that have come down in 2019 that go straight to your pocketbook, straight to your personal economy. And this is what we're going to be hearing next Wednesday.
Well, and it's so many different issues about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are Americans. We're Coloradans. Colorado was built on a rugged individualistic spirit. And I think that's really one of the reasons why people want to come here is because of that, you know, that reputation, you know, mountain climbing and the rugged, you know, the mining that started this state. I mean, there's just rugged people, freedom-loving people, and that's why we're doing this rally. So go to standforcolorado.com. We really would love to have you join us next week. You may have to plan make some plans, maybe take the day off, take part of the day off from work. I realize it's middle of the day, but it's the first day of the legislative session, and we want these PBIs, these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties to know that we are watching and that it is not okay what happened last year down at the State House. And so be sure and join us. And if you can, we would actually really appreciate to those of you that have contributed. This is totally organic. And so to defray expenses, we could certainly use some help on that as well. At our last Stand for Colorado rally in May, we invested in a really good sound system, and people have said that it was the best sound system they have had at any rally there, and we certainly are investing in that again because it's important that everybody can hear, so we can use your help on that. So let's go ahead, because I don't think that you guys heard this, and I worked on these jokes and this inspiration, so Steve, I've got to go ahead and make sure that everybody heard this, so here we go. Baldy Harper, I'd never heard of him before. He lived from 1905 to 1973, and it was Floyd Arthur Baldy Harper. I wonder why he had the nickname, never mind, Baldy. But anyway, he was an American academic. He was an economist and writer who was best known for founding the Institute for Humane Studies in 1961, and that is housed at George Mason University. In 1961, he helped Leonard Reed found the Foundation for Economic Education. And this is so appropriate. He says, not in government or force, but in the creative and thereby spiritual power of freedom shall our inspiration be found. One more time. Not in government or force, but in the creative and thereby spiritual power of freedom shall our inspiration be found. I love that, Steve.
I want to send it to the governor.
There you go. Okay, and then I worked on these funnies. Are you ready for this, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay. Number one. At the beginning of the year, I made a resolution to lose 10 pounds. I only have 15 more to go.
Ha! That's a good one.
Number two, what happened to the man who shoplifted a calendar on New Year's Eve? He got 12 months.
That's not so good.
And then my friend asked me where I see myself in the new year, and I replied, how would I know? I don't have 20/20 vision.
Okay.
Okay. One other thing that I wanted to talk about, and we may go through this even more tomorrow,
I think the listeners need to know that you went to great trouble because of our technical difficulties to repeat those, just to make sure they heard them.
A little humor to start off your day. So, and this is not so funny. Jared Polis says, a New Year's tax cut surprise for every Coloradan. This was published in the Colorado Sun. It was an opinion piece. And basically, did you read this, Steve? He said, as we end 2019 and look forward to 2020, I'm excited to work hard to help Colorado tackle tough challenges in the next decade. The common thread throughout my first year in office has been working hard to save Coloradans money on education, healthcare, utility bills, housing, and more. Just hold the phone. You know, this all-day kindergarten that he has proposed, there's not enough money to pay for that right now. I've heard that down at the State House, they are trying to figure out how to pay for everything that they passed last year. So when he says that he is actually saving Coloradans money, he may save some people some money, but overall, Coloradans are having to pay for that.
Well, and, didn't it come out in either late October or the first week of November? We had a piece that Patty had sent us about, not auditors, but people who oversee the budget. And they said in that all-day kindergarten thing alone, they were $85 million in the red because they went with a low-ball budget back when they were pushing it.
Right, because the numbers that they were looking at were not correct.
Yeah.
And so that's what they do is they low-ball that, and they get – I mean, it's absolutely astonishing to me. They low-ball it so that they can get it passed. And then when it is passed, when you look at the real bill, it's much, much more expensive.
Imagine that.
He says that he's saved Coloradans money on health care, utility bills, housing, and more. That is impossible. If you take a look at what they're doing regarding energy, our energy costs are going up, chasing the oil and gas industry out of the state. And but you know what? I think what I see in this piece, Steve, is that I think sometimes Democrats more than Republicans realize that people's own economic prosperity, their own economic well-being, the money in their pocket is what actually drives an election. And so you saw this last election cycle with Proposition CC, which that was the proposal by PBIs to take away our Tabor tax refunds forever. And that failed significantly at the ballot box. And so I think that's why you see Polis coming out with this op-ed at the beginning of the year to talk about the fact that he saved money for Coloradans when, in essence, he was in favor of Prop CC. And so here he is. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. There's one other thing that I would like to note that was in this piece, and I should have circled this where it was exactly, but he just made kind of a cursory remark to vaccinations. And as many of you may recall, there was this very overreaching forced vaccinations bill that was presented last year down at the State House. And, you know, I was a little late to the party on that. It took me a little while to actually take a look at it. I read the legislation, and when I read the legislation, I realized this was not about just childhood vaccinations. This was about PBIs into the future, being able to expand a forced vaccination mandate that people would not have the opportunity to understand what were in these vaccinations. And there was significant pushback. And so interestingly enough, Polis in this piece that was in the Colorado Sun gave a cursory comment regarding vaccinations. And I think that is kind of a sign that that's going to be one of the battles that we're going to see down at the State House. And we have a couple of our Women of the West, which will be speaking about medical freedom and force within that. And so that's going to be very interesting. Let's talk to Jason McBride. Jason McBride, were you worried that you were going to be on the air or not today after we had a few technical difficulties this morning?
Well, I knew you guys weren't on the air. I figured you were just trying to avoid me.
It wasn't that at all. I think we're having a Monday morning on this January 2nd. So, did you have a good New Year's yesterday?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm too old to go out and do the partying that I used to. So It was a good day. I worked on my wife's car almost all day, which I wouldn't have been able to do with a hangover.
That's well. There you have it. So
yeah.
Okay, let's look into 2020. What do you think? What do people need to be talking about right now? I saw a headline that last year was a great year for the stock market. So what do you think about this next year?
Well, we've had a few pretty good years, Kim. You know, the first year after the election, we were up about 25%. 2018 was a little tough. I think we were down about 5%. But last year, the S&P was up 28% and change, and that was not a huge surprise, as we've talked about a few times. The pre-election year is almost always the strongest year out of the four-year cycle. The good news is that the election year, going long-term at least, back all the way to 1833, Kim, the election year has been the second best year out of the four. So that gives us some hope. Over the next few days, we'll talk about a lot of interesting things. You know, I've got the different January barometers we like to look at, the Santa Claus rally. There's two or three things that might give us a tip off what this year will look like pretty early in the year, and we'll be talking about those.
Well, and Jason, I had mentioned this op-ed that Governor Polis had in the Colorado Sun about he's touting reducing taxes, and you know the implication is that people would have more money in their pocket, which I think is really, really important to people. And, you know, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth because he was in favor of Prop CC, which would have taken away the Tabor tax refunds for everyday hardworking Coloradans forever. But he's, I think, very astute from a political standpoint. He's realizing that more money in people's pocket, their own economic prosperity, is very important to them. And I know that that is what you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management work on, is people's own individual economic prosperity. Because when, you know, if you take care of your own house, then you can take care of the other houses as well.
Well, it certainly makes it easier, doesn't it, Kim? And, you know, as we kind of coined the phrase, your own personal economy is the most important thing to you, regardless of what might be going on in the stock market or the world or in China or anywhere else. It's right there in your own economy is what you should be most focused on.
And you can help people with that. So go to my website, KimMunson.com. We have a landing page there, or you can go to AirPresidential.com. That's our landing page together. Or if you want to give Natalie a call at the switchboard over at Presidential Wealth Management at 730, her phone number, your phone number, is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, I wish you a very prosperous 2020. It's going to be a robust and raucous year.
Yes, well, let's hope so, in a good way.
You got it. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, Jason McBride. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking to some of our fabulous women of the West who will be speaking at our Stand for Colorado rally. We'll be right back. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. We are Coloradans, and the rugged individual spirit that built this state is inherent in who we are. Are you shocked that the 2019 Colorado legislature and governor proposed and enacted laws that hurt our families, our jobs, and our economy? We can no longer sit idly by. Join me, Kim Munson, January 8th, the first day of the 2020 legislative session, for our Stand for Colorado rally. Let these PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties know that we are watching and that we care. More information at standforcolorado.com.
Dana Lash, weeknights at 7 on KLZ 560 AM and 100.7 FM.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and as you all know, hopefully by now, we are planning a very important rally on January 8th down on the west steps of the Capitol, 11 o'clock, and really would appreciate you joining us. And we have our first speaker, and that is Pastor Christine Coleman. She will be giving our invocation, and she is an amazing woman. She survived the Rwandan genocide. Pastor Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the air.
Pastor Christine, I am so excited that you will be giving the invocation at the Stanford, Colorado rally next Wednesday. And tell people a little bit about your story. You survived the Rwandan genocide, and so you have a great love for the American idea and for freedom. And our theme is freedom versus force, and you have seen firsthand what force can do to people.
Yes, I have seen all of that. You know, I was born in a country where the dictatorship is the way of life. And so I know what it feels like to live in the country where there is a freedom versus a force. And I would say, don't go there. Don't lose the freedom. Don't seek to go where people are forcing other people to do things because it does not work, or it brings, or it makes the country to be like a third world country.
Well, and we actually see that in some of these beautiful cities here in America, that they're becoming third world countries. Yes. Where you have the haves and you have the have-nots. In fact, my understanding is in Los Angeles that they're is very possibly going to be a typhoid outbreak because of, you know, the homeless encampments. And there's nothing compassionate about these homeless encampments. There's nothing compassionate about promoting people to be able, like we're going to probably see this again here in Colorado, what they call safe injection sites, where people can go in and shoot up their drugs, quote unquote, in a safe site. That is not government's role to support people in destroying themselves. And so, you know, that is what another one of the reasons why we've got to stand up for freedom instead of force. But freedom also brings personal responsibility. Your thoughts on that, Christine?
Yes. I want to say, you know, as a woman of God, as a pastor, we are also compassionate people, you know, according to the Bible. We believe in helping thy neighbor, loving thy neighbor. But I want to say that, for me, I do believe this is evil. And I want to say evil exists in our cities. But there is a hope. I want to say, we are praying and we are watching. Evil is not going to win, not under our watch. And so I do believe God has a plan for Colorado. What we see doesn't mean it's what we're going to see always. I do believe God is going to answer our prayer. I do believe God is a God of law and order. Yes. Love your neighbor, help them, but everything has to be within the boundaries of love and order. Law and order, I'm sorry.
Well, in law and order, you know, that is, America is so unique that it was founded on these ideas. And one of those is law and order. But when we talk about laws, those laws, whether or not it is a city ordinance all the way up to something that's passed in Congress, all of those laws or ordinances or rules or regulations, all of those need to fall within the context of the Constitution of the United States. We need to make sure that we have constitutional laws. And we actually see laws and rules and regulations that are being passed that are not constitutional. One of those, a great example, is this national popular vote that was passed by the legislature. It was signed by the governor, and then Rose Puglisi, Mesa County Commissioner, and Don Wilson, who is the mayor and monument, they sprung into action because Colorado has this very unique thing in our Constitution where the people of Colorado can actually review that law. And so that is going to be on the ballot in 2020. But it's highly unconstitutional. So, Pastor Christine, when you talk about law and order, we certainly want to make sure that those laws pass the muster of the U.S. Constitution. And I know you have a great love for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Yes, yes. You know, no matter what happens, I do believe it still has to be the government of the people, by the people, for the people. So we are watching. We are watching, and I do believe people are waking up. We are watching what they are doing. We are watching those laws that they want to implement. And I do believe when you force people to do things, there's going to be uprise within the heart. And I will just say we're going to meet at the poll. I do believe with all my heart that if the liberals continue to go the way they are going, it's going to show at the polls. And so I will just say my advice is that everybody remember that it is the government of their people, by their people, and for the people.
Well, and that is why we are doing the Stand for Colorado rally. And that is next week, January 8th. You're going to be our kickoff speaker. You're going to be providing the invocation. And Pastor Christine, your story is so powerful. And just very quickly, if I remember right, I think you prayed to God. You said, if you get me out of this, I dedicate my life to you. And just very quickly, tell our listeners what had happened to you.
Yes, when I was back in Africa, I went through the Rwanda genocide, which was in 1994. Within 3 months, close to 1 million people were destroyed, killed. And I survived that war, but there is another war that happened 2 years later. I was in this war by myself because I got separated from my family. And in this war, I began to really think, what's going on here? I could die any time. And I was in my hiding place. They were bombing Goma, which was a city in the Congo, formerly Zaire. And I remember praying, saying, God, if you're real, I need you. Come save me. If you save me, I will serve you. And I did not even know what serving God meant. But God listened to prayer. So he listened to my prayer. He saved me. And here I am today serving God as a pastor. But not only that, I do believe pastors need to be involved in government because that's how it is supposed to be in the Bible. The kings always work together with the prophets, and the people of God, the prophets, have always been there to guide and to let know the government what God desires and what is his will on the earth. So thank you. It's a long story, but you can get my book, The Blazing Holy Fire, from theblazingholyfire.com.
Blazingholyfire.com. So, Pastor Christine, thank you so much. I can't wait to see you next Wednesday on the west steps of the Capitol, 11 o'clock. Thank you for kicking off our Stand for Colorado rally that day.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we're going to go to our next fabulous woman of the West, and that is Lauren Boebert. And you may recognize her. She is the owner of Shooter's Grill and Rifle. And I think that she was made famous by asking Beto O'Rourke a question, if I remember right. Lauren Boebert, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
I am so excited that you will be one of our fabulous Women of the West that will be speaking at our Stand for Colorado rally next January 8th. And one of the things that is so important to you is the Second Amendment, the right for people to protect themselves. And that is near and dear to your heart, right, Lauren?
Absolutely. My advocacy for the Second Amendment began with my restaurant. We opened the restaurant in Rifle, Colorado, just as a Western-themed cafe. And there was a real-life incident that provoked me to begin to carry. A man was physically beat to death outside my restaurant, and immediately it prompted the question, how will I protect my people? I am 5'0", 100 pounds, and I can't really physically defend someone well. Obviously, I've given everything that I had, but I don't really, you know, wouldn't want to absorb bullets if that was the only option that I had. So I began to look into Colorado gun laws, and I learned that Colorado was an open carry state, and I did not have time to go and obtain a concealed carry permit then. I just opened a restaurant. I have four boys, and so I began to open carry. But in that process, I saw how our right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness were being eroded by our legislators. And I'm like, why is the right to protect myself so not guaranteed anymore? The job of the government is to secure our rights, and they were doing everything they could to take those rights away from us. So really, my advocacy for the Second Amendment was born in 2013, but that segued into an advocacy for freedom.
Well, and you're one of the folks, I mean, did you ask Beto O'Rourke a question about the Second Amendment, I remember right?
Yes, and that's part of what I've been doing for the past 6 years. I've been traveling and advocating for the rights of the American people, and I had heard that Beto O'Rourke on the debate stage emphatically announced, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15s and your AK-47. Yeah. And then he shortly after that announced that he was coming to Aurora, Colorado. And I knew what he was doing. He chose Aurora, Colorado to pander to his audience with our victims that we've had in Columbine and the STEM school shooting and the Aurora Theater. And he was going there to really stand on the graves of those victims and pander his agenda to people. And, you know, the only commonality that he missed and all of that was all of those victims were left defenseless. They had no way to defend their lives in those situations. And, I went down there. I drove 3 hours with my Glock on my hip. I grabbed the microphone, and I looked Beto O'Rourke in the eye, and I told him, hell no, you're not going to take our guns. And I will tell anyone else who's going to try to take the freedoms of Americans away the exact same thing.
Well, and Lauren, what is so kind of interesting is that the far left is using, I think, these tragedies, and they're using these tragedies then to put forward legislation that takes away our rights. I've heard through the grapevine that there may be something in the works. In fact, I think there's going to be several gun control bills that will be presented in 2020. That's why the Stand for Colorado rally is so important, is so that people, these PBIs, know that we are watching. But I've heard that one of the things is it will be a requirement for individuals in their homes to have quote-unquote safe storage. Okay, so let's say, Lauren, that you're at your business. Bad guy walks in the door. And you know, we could even talk about that church shooting. A bad guy walks in the door. He could actually hurt a lot of people while you're over there trying to get your gun out of your safe storage. You know what? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
If you look at the church shooting that just took place in Texas, that exactly happened. The first man who was killed was reaching for his concealed handgun. He could not get to his firearm in time and was shot dead. That entire scenario was 6 seconds long. And it takes an average of 9 minutes for police to arrive. And, you know, you have people like Bloomberg who are saying only police should have guns. The average American citizen should not own a firearm. Only the police should have guns. And they are the ones who decide when to discharge that firearm.
It makes no sense. And so when we peel this back a little bit more, we realize that what this really is this agenda is to take away the rights of everyday, hardworking people who want to choose to protect their families, that this is what this is all about. So, Lauren, I am so excited that you are going to be one of our first speakers at the Stand for Colorado rally, which is next Wednesday. First day of the legislative session, and you and Sharona are driving 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours, so that you can be here for this. I am so grateful to you for doing that.
Yes, thank you. It's so worth it. And if anyone wants to learn more about what we have going on, they can go to keepourguns.com, and there's a lot of fantastic information there.
Well, and it is really important, and that is why we are standing for Colorado. And, Lauren, we are encouraging people to come show up, and I know it's middle of the day. I know it's on a Wednesday, but plan ahead. Take an take a long lunch. If you and Sharona can drive three and a half hours to be here to speak, then there is no excuse for people not to be here. So, Lauren Boebert, so excited, and I'll get to meet you in person next week. I'll have to get your autograph. I can't wait.
I'm just as thrilled to meet you.
Okay, so we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with Sharona Bishop. She is America's mom, and again, the issue she'll be talking about is also the Second Amendment. So this is Kim Munson. Check out my website, kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com, and we'll be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com. And also check out standforcolorado.com. As you all know, we are planning a rally for the first day of the legislative session. You know, we did the last Stand for Colorado rally after the legislative session, and wanted to, you know, bring people together. And I think we were a bit shocked at what had actually happened down at the Golden Dome last year regarding oil and gas, regarding, you know, the red flag law, regarding the national popular vote. And so that is why we decided that we are going to do our Stand for Colorado rally on the very first day of the legislative session and let these PBIs down at the Golden Dome know that we are watching. And the Weather Committee is doing an excellent job. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful January day here in Colorado. And, Steve, I know that you are going to be there, and I am pleased about that.
Yeah, it's a pretty busy day for me to get down there and get everything settled there. And then as soon as that's done, run down to the convention center where the Sportsman Expo is going to be. We're going to be broadcasting live there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. But more importantly is Stand for Colorado. I hope, I know you're getting some pushback regarding this all-female entourage, and I hope anybody just listening just now
to Lauren
realizes that, hey, these are serious issues, and the gender of the presenter is not it's not an issue.
Well, but you know, I actually did choose women just because it seems like the radical left has always tried to imply that they are the party of women. And so that is why I actually chose, all of these women are experts on these particular issues. But if you look at our guest list on a regular basis, I mean, there's some weeks where I have all men as our guests. And I think you could probably talk to each of these women here. And each of them, Lauren just mentioned that she's the mom of four boys. We as moms, we as wives, we as sisters, as daughters, We need to uphold our men and let men be men. And what we've seen with the radical feminists is that that there's been really that they've said that they're for women, but in essence, they are for women only when they tear down men. And that is not what any of these women that you will see speaking, each one of these, believe in making sure that we uphold men instead of tearing them down. But because the other side always plays the women card, I thought, okay, let's play the women card here. And that is why we have 16 amazing women who will be speaking about these important issues that are facing Colorado. And go to my website. And it is just a stellar group of speakers that we're going to have, Steve.
Can you run down the list of issues here and now?
Sure. Okay. So in our invocation, Pastor Christina Coleman will be giving that. We talked with her. Sharona Bishop, who is also known as America's Mom. She tenaciously defends the core values of Coloradans, but she'll be talking about something near and dear to her heart. And again, that is the red flag law. Lauren Boebert, who we just talked with, she said she's 100 pounds and she's 5 foot tall. You know, typically most women don't give their weight. I'm not going to give my weight. But what she's talking about with the ability for a woman to have the choice to carry a firearm to protect her business, to protect her family, is that many times a firearm is the great equalizer. And then Cindy Peck will be talking about the siting of wireless facilities. I will be talking about the freedom to drive. As you know, the freedom to be able to move around, I think, is inherent in the American idea. Britta Horn will be talking about the economic freedom and transparency of everyday Coloradans, and she is the treasurer of the Colorado State Fire Chiefs. Amy Oliver Cook, energy freedom. If we have freedom in energy, we can move around, we can heat our homes, we can turn on our lights. And so Amy is an expert on that. Carolyn Martin will be talking about homeschool freedom. Nicole Hunt, religious freedom. Megan Kirk regarding medical freedom and this whole movement towards forced vaccinations. Educational freedom. Juliana Day will be speaking about this sex education bill that was rammed down our throats this last particular legislative session. Natalie Minton, protecting Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights. Patty Kurgan regarding the forced family leave legislation that we'll probably see. Dr. Jill Vecchio on healthcare freedom. We're going to see a movement here in Colorado towards trying to push us into single-payer healthcare. And then Rose Puglisi regarding mobilizing and pushing back on this forced national popular vote. So, Steve, it is going to be quite a group of women.
Well, let me say, because the way we're configured with social media, in particular Facebook, I get all the hits on people commenting on the show and, you know, whatever, just the fact that they're hitting the Facebook page for the Kim Munson show. I am getting, or I am seeing all kinds of responses that says, I will be there. You know, wouldn't miss it. All those types of comments that are being made this far in advance. So I think you really have something to look forward to here.
I think it's going to be an amazing day. And so be sure and join us. And again, we could use your help regarding financial contributions as well. We are investing in a very good sound system. And then we have other little expenses and then also for our marketing. And so again, go to standforcolorado.com. All that information is there. And, you know, Steve, I'm really looking forward to 2020 as the new year yesterday, as we had a great family celebration, great food, and thinking about our responsibility, though, in 2020, as we think about those Marines that were dropping in at the embassy there in Iraq, and just the responsibility that we protect freedom. And so you and I can't come out of a helicopter, jump out of a helicopter and, go into an embassy to protect people. But we can protect the American idea right here in Colorado. And we have a real responsibility to do that. Steve, I know that you take that seriously. Our team takes that seriously. We are ready for 2020. It's going to be wild because there's been a real movement towards force. And those that like force, they like power. And they like to use that force for power. And America was founded on, as Pastor Christine said, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so that is going to be our marching orders this year to protect that, Steve.
Yes, well said.
Okay, so our quote for today is Baldy Harper. He said, it seems that wherever the welfare state is involved, the moral precept, thou shalt not steal, becomes altered to say, thou shalt not steal, except for what thou deemest to be a worthy cause. Where thou art thinkest that thou canst use that loot for a better purpose than would the victim of the theft. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.